Okay, Romans chapter 8, and we'll read verses 11 through 17. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to open Your Word, and we pray, Lord, that You would sanctify us with Your truth tonight, that You would help us to be holy in mind, in heart, and in life. We pray that You would help us to be devoted and set apart for You and Your sacred purpose. We pray that as we study the Word of God, which is the Word of truth, that You would change the way we think, that You would renew our minds, and that You would help us to think biblically. We pray for Your blessing, Lord, as we study the doctrine of assurance, and may we all come away from these studies with a greater confidence in our standing with You and our relationship with You. And we ask all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy, his final letter to Timothy, in chapter 1 and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. The Apostle Paul has this confidence. He knows in whom He has put His trust, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is persuaded, He is certain, that the Lord Jesus will come through, will deliver on His promise of salvation for the Apostle Paul. That's where I want to be. And I hope that's where you want to be too. I hope you want to say from your heart, from the very depth of your being, that I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. That's assurance, right? That's the doctrine of assurance that we've been talking about in our studies. And we continue tonight to consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit has to do with assurance. Last time, we looked at 1 John 3 and 1 John 4, where John says that we know that God dwells in us. We know we have this special relationship with God, and that God has actually taken up residence in us as His temple, His tabernacle, if you will. And we know that because we have the Holy Spirit. And God sends His Holy Spirit as the down payment of the salvation He has promised. And in addition to that, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, make us the temple of God. And that's how we know that we belong to the Lord. It's another test of assurance. If you know that you have the Holy Spirit, then you know that you really, truly belong to the Lord. Tonight we're going to look at something similar, but just a slightly different angle on it, and that is the witness of the Holy Spirit. The witness of the Holy Spirit, and that's found here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. So what we want to talk about tonight is the Holy Spirit's role in bringing us to a place where we're confident that we are genuinely saved and we're right with God. What does the Holy Spirit do to bring us to that place where we have that assurance that we are right with God? And as I said, that brings us here to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Let's read that verse one more time. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The first thing I want you to notice is that it is the Holy Spirit who bears the witness. Paul says the Spirit itself. Now, itself doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's an it. It's just a matter of grammar and language, gender of the language there. So don't worry about that. The Holy Spirit's a person. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But is the Spirit Himself who bears witness with our spirit. So the Holy Spirit is directly involved in bringing us to a place of assurance, or in terms, in the language of this verse, bring us to a place where we know that we're a child of God, that we're a son or a daughter of God and we belong to Him. The Westminster Confession of Faith puts it this way, and at first you might think, why did they put it this way? Why did they state it this way? So let me read you this, and then I'll tell you why. The Westminster Confession of Faith says, this certainty or this assurance is not a bare conjectural and probable persuasion. Now, that's a fancy way of saying it's not just like, I sure hope I'm saved, right? Or I wish it really is true. But it is grounded upon a fallible hope, but an infallible assurance of faith. So the Westminster Divines said that the assurance that the believer has is an infallible assurance. Now, why would they put it so strongly as that? One of the reasons why they did so is because the person who is testifying to the fact that we are genuinely saved is none other than the Holy Spirit Himself. And the Holy Spirit's God, right? Can the Holy Spirit make a mistake? Can He be wrong about the state of your soul? Can He be wrong about your salvation before God? No, He can't, right? So the Holy Spirit Himself is bearing witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. Okay, so that's number one. It's the Holy Spirit Himself who is doing this work. Number two, we said it already, but let's repeat it again. It's the Holy Spirit that does what? He bears witness. He bears witness. What does that mean? That word witness means to testify, to offer supporting testimony on behalf of another. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes in and He offers testimony, gives divine, infallible testimony to the fact that we are genuinely saved and are a child of God. In fact, there are two witnesses here. Notice that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, some commentators debate a little bit over whether the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to our spirit or with our spirit. I think both things are true. Of course, the Holy Spirit is giving us this confidence that we are saved and we're a child of God. But I take it, as the King James has it here, that He is testifying with our spirit. So you have two witnesses. You have the witness of your own heart, your own spirit, your inner man. And you have the witness of the Holy Spirit alongside of it, thus fulfilling the Old Testament law, right? In order for something to be confirmed as true in the Old Testament, you have to have how many witnesses? Just one? No. You need more than one. You need two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 19:15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, and any sin that he sins, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So here we have the two witnesses. The witness of our spirit, that we are a child of God, and the witness of the Holy Spirit, that we are a child of God. So let me give you an example, an illustration. Let's say that you are accused of a crime that you did not commit. And you go to stand before the judge on the day of the hearing, the trial. And you know in your heart that you're innocent, right? That you did not do anything wrong, that you didn't actually commit the crime. So there you stand before the judge, and your heart is telling you, I did not do this. I am innocent, right? Now, unfortunately, that's not going to be enough in the court of law. We need someone else to corroborate your story. And in comes the preacher, praise the Lord, to offer some supporting evidence and testimony that you are innocent and you're not guilty of the crime that you're accused of. So in I walk into the courtroom and I give a supporting testimony. I bear witness that we were together on the day of the crime. And there's no way you could have committed it because we were together and I can confirm and establish that fact. It gives you a little flavor of the idea here, right? So you have your spirit that testifies to the fact, your internal knowledge that you belong to God, and the Holy Spirit offering that additional testimony and confirmation that you are the Lord's. Now, specifically, what the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to here is the fact that we're the children of God. End of verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. Now, last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit confirms the fact that we're indwelt by God, that God has made us His temple. Here, we're focused on the fact that the Holy Spirit comes and encourages and confirms and testifies that you are a son of God or a daughter of God. Now, let's also consider the context of Romans chapter 8 as we think about that. So back up to verse 14. Paul says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God." So you see that theme of being a child of God. Verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." It is through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that we, whether with our lips or in our heart, cry out to God and call Him Father, testifying to the fact that we belong to Him, that we are in a saving relationship with Him, and He is indeed our Heavenly Father. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes to enable us to cry out to God in such an intimate and personal way, and He also confirms and testifies to the fact that we are a child of God, that we belong to the Lord in this saving relationship. Okay, so this brings us again to consider the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I told you last week that many people associate the work of the Holy Spirit with strange and fantastical events or strong emotional experiences. Now, I qualified that last week to say that if we have a very strong emotional experience at church or when we're reading the Bible or something like that, we're not saying that that's not the Holy Spirit. We just mean to say that we won't want to base it solely on our emotions, right? Because that could be the pizza we had for lunch. Or the fact that we didn't get enough sleep or we got too much sleep or whatever it may have been. So we don't want to base it solely on that. But we do want to understand what the work of the Holy Spirit is. So if you want to know, what is the Holy Spirit doing in my life? Among other things, this is one of His primary works, to bring you this encouragement that you're a child of God, that you're a son or a daughter of God, and things are right between you and the Lord. Think about what the Apostle Paul says of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 2. There in that chapter, Paul tells us some important things. He tells us that the natural man, the unsaved man, is not able to understand the things of God. They're bouncing off of his head, basically. And who is it that comes to us, reveals God to us, shows us what God has for us? It's the Holy Spirit. He does that. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Why do we have the Holy Spirit? One of the reasons is the Holy Spirit comes to let you know what is yours, what belongs to you as a saved person, as a child of God. All those things freely given to you of God. Okay, so there, in a nutshell, is the second means of assurance. We've covered it. We've got three that we're going to talk about, right? Number one, evidence of grace. Is there evidence in my life that I'm genuinely saved? Does the way I live back up my profession of faith, the fact that I say I believe in Jesus? Number two was the witness of the Holy Spirit, which is what we've been talking about last week and tonight. And number three are the promises and the Word of God, which we will cover in the weeks ahead. So before we let this particular subject go about the witness of the Holy Spirit, perhaps you're wondering how this all happened. Right, it's all fine to say the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we're a child of God. But my question, and maybe the question in your mind is, how? How does that happen exactly? It's Tuesday afternoon. It's Friday night. How do I know the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God? So that's what we want to think about as we conclude things here. Now, number one, this is a subjective work. What I mean by subjective is the Holy Spirit comes and He does it in your life, in your experience, in your heart, personally and individually. But even as I say that, He does so in a very objective way. Now, what do I mean by objective? What I mean is, you don't have to listen for some audible voice or certain feelings or, I don't know, the fleece is dry or the fleece is wet or, you know, something like that to say, oh, I know the Holy Spirit has been here. How do we know the Holy Spirit is working in my heart and giving me this assurance? Now, some of this will be a repeat from last week, but it bears repeating. Okay, number one, Scripture. The Holy Spirit is going to use Scripture to bear witness with your spirit, your heart, that you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture, 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy did not come in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by who? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the inspirer of the prophets and the apostles to produce the Word of God, the Scriptures. That's the Holy Spirit's work. And in addition to that, remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit and what He would do with the apostles after He was gone. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And here we go. Whatsoever I've said unto you. So the Holy Spirit takes the word of Christ, brings it to the remembrance of the apostles so that they can write it down, so they can communicate it accurately. And the Holy Spirit does a very similar work in our lives, too. He brings the Scriptures to your heart and applies them to your heart. That's number one. Number two, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit in the work of sanctification. What I mean by sanctification is the Holy Spirit helping us die to sin and live for righteousness. That's the Holy Spirit's work. He is the Holy Spirit. So what He does is He comes into your life and He begins to help you to kill sin and live for the Lord in everyday practical ways. The Holy Spirit does that work. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit last time, Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, all of those things that the Apostle Paul lists. In addition, consider the context here of Romans chapter 8. Back up to verse 12 again. Paul says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. That is to say, we're not enslaved, we're not indebted to live according to our fallen and sinful human nature. Verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How does the Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we belong to God? He works holiness in your life and He shows you what He's doing. He shows you how He is at work in your life to help you die to sin and live unto righteousness. All right, so let me give you some personal illustrations and examples of the Holy Spirit's work in my life. Now, as I give you these, perhaps you can start to let the wheels turn and think about how the Holy Spirit has used the Scriptures and brought them home to your heart to give you assurance, and how the Holy Spirit has also worked change in your life, and that change has been a encouraging sign that God's at work in you. Okay? Number one, reminders of sin that God has delivered you from. There was once upon a time when I would sit on my couch and I would watch Denver Broncos football game. And we were supposed to win these games, but we lost them. In fact, one year, We had four or five games on live TV, and we were supposed to be really good and win all these games. And guess what? We lost every last one of them. I know. I say we because I think of them as my team, right? And I would get so upset. Oh, so angry. It's like irrational. It makes no sense. Why a grown man would get so upset about a game. But I did. I got angry. Would throw things, yell at the TV. There's nobody's listening to me. Nobody's around, but I am angry. Now guess what? I don't do that anymore. And they still lose football games at an unfortunate rate. Who did that? Who did that work in my life? I know it's kind of a silly thing, but anger is one of the works of the flesh, is it not? Who is it that takes you from a place of anger to a place of self-control? Fruit of the Spirit, right? Answer? It's the Holy Spirit who does that. You see, the Holy Spirit does that work, and He points it out to me from time to time and says, Nick, I'm working. I'm changing you. And this is a sign that you're a child of God. Remember, going back to sign number one, or means number one, evidence of grace in my life. There have been times in my life when I was very, very discouraged over struggles with sin. And I wondered if I would ever overcome sinful habits. And I would go into the prayer closet and I would fall on my knees again and just say, God, please forgive me. And I wondered, should I even keep doing this? Maybe I'm not cut out to be a Christian. And it was in those moments that the Holy Spirit took the scriptures and brought them to my heart. And I remembered scriptures like Philippians 1:6. Oh, it's a wonderful text. Being confident of this very thing, Paul says, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit brought this encouragement to my heart to say, Nick, it's not time to give up, son. God didn't begin this thing in your life way back here to let it fail. So let it go. Say, you know what? I'll change Nick's life. I'll turn it all around. I'll let him go for a couple of years. I'll see if he can do it on his own. And if he can't, scrap the whole project. Aren't you glad he didn't do that? I'm glad he didn't do that. And see, the Holy Spirit brings to mind Philippians 1:6. It says, Nick, that's what the Bible says. Don't give up. Don't quit. I now, to going along that same line of thinking now, I now understand the Bible a little bit better than I did 10 years ago. 20 years ago. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. Who did that? Holy Spirit did that. And I see that. I see Him doing that work in my life, and it's an encouragement. Once in seminary, I can remember sitting in the common area thinking about the doctrine of election. That's what seminary students do. Sit around thinking about election. But I don't want to get mystical about it, but the thought just dawned on me. God chose to save me before time ever began. God chose to give me the life He has given me before time ever began. And it wasn't because of good or evil in me. It was because of His own purpose. And I just sat there and basked in that truth for a few minutes. Who does that kind of work? The Holy Spirit does. That's what the Spirit of God does. He takes the scriptures and He applies them to your heart and makes you think about them so that you apply them to yourself, to your life. Have you ever sat through a sermon and been convicted of your sin or been encouraged to keep going on in your Christian life or whatever? Who does that work? The Holy Spirit does that work. That is how he is bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. He's bringing the word of God, and he's bringing what he himself is doing in your life, and he is bringing it to bear on your mind, on your heart, and showing you, this is me. I'm working in your life. And if he's at work in your life, then you're a child of God. Right? For as Paul says here in Romans 8, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Every believer has the spirit of God. How do we know he's around? How do we know he's working? We know it when he is using the scriptures to change us and transform us into the image of Christ.